Good evening. I'm Daniel, a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm having victory over being abusive and struggling with contentment. Well, welcome to CR tonight. We have a lesson, and you should have a handout on the seat next to you and a pen. So this is going to be interactive. I am going to ask you to write some of your thoughts down that are going to help you in your recovery life. At CR, we follow a format where we talk about principles and steps. So we're just going to start off and have you read along with me, Principle 7 and Step 11 tonight. Ready? Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Step 11. We sought, through prayer and meditation, to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And the Bible verse, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, CR is a Christ-centered 12-step program. So we use a lot of the Bible, the Old Testament and New Testament, to give us truth, to confront our faulty thinking. In recovery, you might hear the phrase stinking thinking. So stinking thinking, faulty thinking, whatever it is, we all have flaws. And we read the truth, we find out what God's got planned for us. It starts to change our hearts, starts to change our minds. We start to become different people. The lesson tonight is about gratitude. And in recovery, you hear phrases like, it works if you work it. You know, keep coming back. And another phrase you'll hear a lot is attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. I looked up in the dictionary what attitude meant. And attitude means a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Let me just read that one more time. Attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. So we all have attitudes, and the question is, you know, what is your attitude? What is your outlook on life? Because it impacts how you behave, how you respond to life around you. In the principle and the step that we read at the beginning, it encouraged us to do some simple things. So I'm just going to ask you, you know, are you talking to God each day? You know, talking to God, it's just praying. You know, are you doing that each day? The disciples didn't really understand all the spiritual disciplines, so they asked Jesus, you know, teach us how to pray. And he gave him a very short prayer. How many know the Lord's Prayer? So let's just say it out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. So even with a handful of words, we can understand how to start to relate to God. You know, when we have a big meeting here on Wednesday night, we start off with praise and worship. You know, you might ask yourself, how is that helping me in my life? You know, what does praise and worship have to do with anything? Well, when I enter into praise and worship, it gets me out of the here and now, and I start to focus on God. I start to focus on eternity. I start to focus on things that are going to happen after this life, this physical life, comes to an end, and that's going to last forever. So that life, that next life to come, is way more important than anything I can do right now. So it gets my focus off the here and now into something eternal that can't be taken away. It gets me thinking about things like the character of God. So other questions about the principle and step we just read. Are you examining your life each day? You know, do you take a time in your life where you just ask, you know, before I go to sleep tonight, is there somebody that I offended today? Is there somebody that I hurt by my actions or my words? Or did I ignore something? This last Friday, I was at home in my office, and I heard someone screaming outside the window, "Help! Police! 911!" Someone just screaming frantically. So I run outside, and it's my neighbor. And she's just gone into her garage, and there was a burglar in her car stealing her purse and her personal belongings. She screamed at the guy, ran outside, chased him to the park, and then ran back to her house. And she had been, you know, extremely, you know, violated emotionally, and her safety had been violated. And she was just screaming and hysterical, and she was on the phone with the police, and the police wanted to talk to me. And, you know, I was just a neighbor. I was just going out there to see what I could do to help her. You know, are we paying attention to what's going on around us each day? Are you reading your Bible each day to find out what God's talking about? I have a routine where I have my breakfast cereal in the morning, and then I open up my Bible, and I just have this reading plan, and I just check it off. I've got Psalms, I got Proverbs, I got some Old Testament, I've got New Testament. By the time I'm done eating my breakfast, I've read a chunk of Scripture, and if I keep doing that in 1 year, I go through all 66 books of the Bible. And I find if I don't look at the Bible the first thing every morning, my mind is going to wander, my attitude is going to wander, and I'm going to go right back to the old Daniel, and I'm not going to have the hope, strength, and experience that God wants in my life. So, if you know me, one thing I got into about 3 years ago was fitness. So I ride my bike, and it's a road bike. I like to go fast, and I give myself extra points if I pass up a younger person. So you might ask, how do I know how old a person is? Well, I pull up alongside them. I say, "Hello, I'm Daniel. How's your day going? And how old would you be?" And, you know, if they're 35 and I'm 58, that's a difference of 23 years times 10, that's 230 points. So, is there a group for me? I think there might be. So I have an attitude that says, I like to be fit, I like to go fast, and that attitude has some thought patterns. And the thought pattern is, if there's a four-way stop sign, and I'm in a bike lane, and I come to a four-way stop, and I'm going right, I just continuously go, and I don't stop. Because I'm in a bike lane, I'm going into another bike lane, and I just don't stop. Well, a week ago Saturday, a policeman from Hillsboro turned his siren on as he saw me making my right-hand turn. So my attitude, you know, my preset notion, you know, my thoughts and feelings about cycling, we're confronted by the law, and, you know, the officer asked me if I knew what I did, and I knew that you should respond positively, and I told him I ran a stop sign, and he goes, "You know that's wrong," and I said, "Yes, I know that's wrong. Why were you doing that?" "Because I like to go fast." He goes, "All right. This is not the Tour de France, and that spandex is not working for you." So, now he wanted to know where my ID was. "I don't carry an ID, officer." "What if you were knocked unconscious and you were laying on the side of the road? Who are we going to call?" And I go, "I don't know. That's a problem, isn't it?" And then he informed me that when I made a right-hand turn, I used this signal. And he told me, "No, that's not acceptable. You must use this signal." I like to argue. I like to win arguments, and I knew the policeman was wrong about this is a valid right turn signal in the state of Oregon. I also know that if you argue with the police, you will receive a $225 ticket for a moving violation. So I decided to agree with him that, yes, I did wrong. That was wrong. So I just agreed with him, and then he looked up my name, found out that I was okay, and he came over and just gave me a verbal warning. And for the rest of the ride, I looked behind me to make sure that the pleasant officer was not following me to Tualatin. And I obeyed most of the traffic signs going home. So your attitude, you know, your thoughts and your feelings about something or someone are going to be related to your behaviors, how you respond to life. So I didn't get a ticket. I did the crime. I deserved the $225 ticket. But I received grace. I received grace instead of a fine. So I am thankful that I received grace. And it was a lesson to me that I can receive grace even when I do break the law. I also had an attitude growing up as a Christian that if you work hard, God takes care of you. And I think Benjamin Franklin incorrectly stated, God takes care of those who take care of themselves. It's not in the Bible. Benjamin Franklin said it. But I kind of believed, like the Pharisees, that if I followed a certain set of rules, God would bless me. God would make life prosper. So for 25 years after I graduated college, I had expanding income every year. I had no money problems. You know how easy life is when you have more money at the, you know, you can pay all your bills every month and you don't have to think about it? Life is easy. Life is easy. And I thought that was because I was following rules and God was rewarding me financially. Come 2004, I left the corporate world involuntarily and became a freelance person because of my anger. So the last 12 years, I've experienced financial decline. But I've also been in recovery. And so I've had a chance to understand what matters in life and what's going to last forever. And like my dad once wisely said, he said, son, I've been to a lot of funerals, but not one hearse is followed by a U-Haul. So what he meant was, you know, you can have all the success you want in this life, but you know what? You're not taking it with you. Naked we came into the world, naked we'd leave. So, you know, our thoughts and our emotions are going to guide us. So on your handout, we've got four things we're going to be talking about. It all is related to our attitude, and I believe that we can have an attitude of gratitude. The first fill-in-the-blank is be thankful to God. Be thankful to God. And there's a scripture verse, Philippians 4:6, that goes along with that. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's like kind of asking God for our daily bread. Notice that we're asking God for our daily bread. We're not asking him for a Maserati. We're not asking him for a home in Lake Oswego and a boat and CEO of the year. We're not asking him for these things that the world considers important. We're asking him to sustain us today. A roof over our heads. Like my dad would say, you know, you kids, you've got a roof over your heads. You've got clothes on your back. You've got food in your stomach, and you've got parents that love you. You know, at the time, it's like, well, Dad, that just sounds so corny. But but now it's like my dad's really a genius. My dad's an absolute genius. So what does that look like, being thankful to God? There's a second scripture verse from Psalms 107. It just says, let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and wonderful deeds for men. So on my gratitude list, I just wrote down six things that came really quickly to my mind about what am I grateful to God for to create this attitude of gratitude. Well, number one, I'm known personally by God. I'm known personally by God. You know, if you go to our elementary schools, our middle school, our high schools, and our state universities, they will tell you, you are just a bunch of random chemicals put together by accident. You know, the earth was formed randomly, our universe was randomly placed here, the moon, the sun, the stars, our atmosphere, the animals, everything is just randomness and meaningless. It's kind of what's taught in school. But when you read the Bible, it says there is a God who did create everything, and he knows the name of every star, and he knows your name, and he knows my name. And more than that, he likes me, and he loves me, and he accepts me, even though I run stop signs and occasional stoplights. He loves me. He accepts me. So I'm known personally by him. Number two, I'm accepted by God thanks to Jesus. I'm not accepted to God by my works. It's by my faith in Jesus. So if you have faith in Jesus and you believe in your heart who Jesus is and you confess with your mouth who Jesus is, you're acceptable to God. You're invited into God's family. You're given the Holy Spirit. You've got a new dimension in life beyond what we see here. I'm invited to live with God for eternity. I know where I'm going for eternity. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. My mistakes, offenses, hurts, habits, and hang-ups are forgiven by God. So if you're here today, you've made mistakes in life. You've hurt people. You've offended people. You've not always done the right thing. You can confess that. You can admit you're wrong. You can start making amends. You can ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful. He will forgive you. There may be consequences, but he will forgive you. I'm heard by God. God says that he hears the prayers of the righteous. And if you've confessed Jesus to be Lord and Savior, you're considered right before God. He will hear your plea. You're not forgotten, no matter what your circumstances. I'm thankful that I am heard by God. I'm comforted by God. So what I want you to write down under the first thing, be thankful to God, are just two things. It might just be two words of why are you thankful to God. You know, our higher power is Jesus Christ. It is God. So just quickly write down two things to you. Why are you thankful for God? You can even take this list after we're done and put it in the dashboard of your car, put it in your mirror, in your bathroom, put it in front of your computer, put it next to your TV, put it in the fridge, put it someplace where you can see it every day. If you have a gratitude list, it will remind you why you got up that day and what you're grateful for. And it will give you purpose for that day, it will give you hope for that day, and it will give you strength for that day. But you have to write it out. The second thing that we have a blank for is be thankful for others. There's a scripture verse, Colossians 3, 15 and 16. Let's read this one together out loud. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this is going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Colossians 3:15 and 16. You're here tonight. You're with other people. This is not a mistake. Sometimes in the Western mindset, we have this thinking that we're all John Wayne. It's just me and God, and I don't need anybody else. You know, I got myself into this mess. I'll get myself out of this mess. In recovery, we don't believe that that's true. We believe the way out of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, our addictions, our unforgiveness towards others that have hurt us, is to be in a community. So that community looks like the person sitting next to you. That community looks like your small group that you're going to go to and share tonight. The degree that you're going to get healed in that sharing group is the degree that you reveal your brokenness. If you reveal your brokenness, God's faithful to start healing it. If you keep that brokenness bottled up and don't say it out loud, your recovery is going to take a lot longer. It's going to take a lot longer. So be thankful for others. So on my gratitude list, when I think about others in recovery, I'm thankful that I have accountability partners every week in my men's anger group. So I can fill out that prayer card and I can put my name on there and my phone number and say text, and someone is going to text me in the week. They're going to encourage me. They're going to say, Daniel, you matter. I heard what you shared in group. I'm praying for you. I'd encourage you, when you're in small group tonight and you fill out that prayer card, put one thing down that you're grateful for. You know, your life could be horrible. It could be a really bad week. You know, maybe you just got fired. Maybe the person that you know and love the most has walked out on you. Maybe you're hitting rock bottom. You know what? No matter what your circumstance is, there's at least one thing you can be grateful for. So start to write that out on your prayer card. One thing I'm thankful for. Another thing on my gratitude list, thankfulness for others, I have a new sponsor that will listen to me and confront me in love. On my gratitude list for other people, I get to be a sponsor to other men, offering encouragement. I get to serve with other CR team members in leadership. Here's a biggie. I have been forgiven by my wife even after being served a restraining order. God has healed my marriage. I've been forgiven by my son, who I assaulted. You know, when you assault somebody, it's a crime. And they have different levels. And if charges are brought against and there's evidence presented, you know, you go to jail. I received grace. Charges were not filed against me. Could have been. Should have been. But I received grace instead. So I am grateful to have forgiveness by my son. I've been forgiven by my family members who I lied to and frightened. So take some time out and just write down two things on your list of why you're thankful for others in your life. Two things. It could be two people, but where do you have gratitude? Our third fill-in for the night is be thankful for my recovery. There's a scripture verse that we're going to read, Hebrews 12:1. Up here on the screen. Let's read it together. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Hebrews 12:1. So in my gratitude list for what am I grateful for in recovery, you know, we have lots of men's groups here for recovery. I qualify for every one. Sexual purity, men's anger, general issues, drugs and alcohol. I have done them all, friends. I'm an equal opportunity addict. So number one on my list is I'm 10 years sober from physical abuse. The last fight that I got into with my son, where he broke my nose, was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Number two, I'm 37 years sober from alcohol abuse. Number three on my recovery gratitude list, I'm not as sarcastic as before. You know, you may have grown up in a household like I did, where my dad just said the first thought that came to his mind. It was incredibly poignant and funny, but it hurt everybody. It made fun of everybody else, and it was at everybody else's expense. So I picked up that habit, and I was very sarcastic, and I would just say the first thing, the first thought that came to my mind. I had no editing capability. My wife sat me down one day and said, "Do you ever edit or pause your thoughts before you speak?" And I said, "Well, why? Why would I do that?" "Well, you won't hurt as many people." "Oh, what I'm saying is hurting?" "Yes. Our words have power to hurt others. Our words also have power to heal and encourage and equip others." So it is possible to have a 3-second delay before you speak. And that will cut down if you've got a habit of saying the wrong thing. In my recovery, I have gratitude because I'm doing daily amends when I offend others. I married a woman who was codependent, and when I would offend her, she might let me know 11 months later. You know, 11 months ago, and she has perfect recall. This is like pre-computer. But she could recall what room we were in, what color it was, what words I said, and when I rolled my eyes. She would know, and she would call me on it. But it was like 11-month delay. She got into Celebrate Recovery, and she learned in the women's codependency group that you have to find your voice and speak truth and lovingness to the person that's offending you. So now, as the sentence reverberates out of my mouth and hits the wall, she'll go, "Stop, you are offending me." And I'll go, "Why did you go to CR again?" So now, I know when I offend her because she tells me. She tells me. And now when I look at people, I can tell by their face if I have offended them. And my goal is not to go to bed at night until I've made good and made amends to people and say, "You know, what I said to you or what I did to you, I believe that that hurt you. I believe that that was put down. I believe that that was sarcastic. I believe that was shame. I believe that was comparing. I believe that was inappropriate, what I said." You know, and with God's help, I won't say that stuff again. You know, will you forgive me? In my recovery, I'm grateful because I've stopped arguing with my children and using shame to control them. So the son who I assaulted, and he assaulted me back, he paid me a wonderful compliment. The best compliment I could think of at all. And he said, "Dad, you don't argue with me anymore." I had a character flaw, and that character flaw was, I will win every argument by every means possible. You know, I will get in your face, I will make you feel bad, I will guilt trip you, I will shame you, I will use sarcasm, I will use put downs, comparisons, I'll do everything within my power to make you feel so horrible, you will never disagree with me again. So in my recovery, I've stopped arguing with my kids, and instead the antidote is affirmation. I find people that I know and love, and I tell them when they're doing the right thing. I catch them doing the right thing, and I said, job well done. I appreciate what you just did. Totally different behavior. I've learned that in recovery, and I'm grateful that I've learned that. I keep coming back to recovery to stay sober, and this really works. In the 101 class, I tell people that I started recovery in 2003, and they said, geez, it must not work, you know, because you're still here. I said, no, you know, I keep coming back because I'm just one sentence away from hurting somebody. I'm just one incident away, you know, from rage. I'm just one thing away from going back to the old Daniel. That's why I keep coming back, because this is a healthy place to be. In recovery, it's not all about mental things. Sometimes recovery is physical. About 3 years ago, I looked at myself in the mirror on my birthday, and I didn't like what I saw, because I saw a person that weighed 205 pounds. And I thought, you know, I want to be good to my body. And so the next day, I jumped on my bike and started riding. And in 1 year, I went from 205 to 170 pounds. And my wife had told me, you know, exercise, eat right, get sleep. She was right, right, and right. And I finally, she is right. Yes, dear, she is right. So I've had a physical recovery, and I'm at 170 pounds. And I'm just thankful that I have my health. I'm thankful to God that I have my health. So I want you to write down, in your recovery, what are a couple things that you are grateful for? Just could be a single word or a single thought. So just take a time and write down a couple things that you're grateful for in your recovery. We celebrate progress. We're not into perfection. None of us has arrived. You know, a lanyard does not mean I've arrived. I'm here because I need to be here. This is a really healthy place to be. The final fill in the blank is be thankful for my church. We're in a church building. This is Rolling Hills. This is my church family. There is a scripture verse in Psalms. Let's read that together. We have that last scripture verse. There we go. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4. So you may go to Rolling Hills. You may go to some other place. They're all wonderful places to be at. You know, your church body is there to help you, to encourage you, to equip you, to create a sense of community. I'm grateful here at Rolling Hills. When my youngest son was even younger, I was allowed to teach his Sunday school class. And there I was just teaching the kids how I connect with God. So one generation to the next. I'm grateful for that. As a matter of fact, in one of the Sunday school classes, they said, parents, we want you to come into class because this week we're going to have you ask your children to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so I did that, and my son accepted Jesus Christ. You know, how cool is that? We're going to spend eternity together in the same place. That is so special. In this room, my oldest daughter got married, and I got to walk her down the aisle. Rolling Hills offered membership classes, so I signed up and took the classes, and I'm grateful I did because I learned more about the dozens of ministries that go on here. You know, CR is just one of dozens of things that happen. It's amazing, all the good work that goes on here. Rolling Hills has community groups. I've attended community groups before. Now I consider Celebrate Recovery as my community group. It's a place where I confess who I really am to men in my group. They really know me, and they pray for me. I'm grateful for that community of believers. With Rolling Hills and Sunday school classes, I've taken the kids on hikes. We did Saddle Mountain. It was really funny. I was wanting to make sure every kid, you know, had enough water and they all stayed hydrated, because, you know, your worst fear is you take a group of kids, fifth graders, out to Saddle Mountain, you know, and they come back and they're fainting or, you know, defective, or you hurt them or something. And so I'm checking everyone, you know, do you have water? Do you have water? Do you have water? And this one guy had this huge backpack on, and we opened it up, and he had 5 gallons of water. And I said, all right, you're like way overprepared. You're not going to need that much. But he was prepared, so I was set there. Another thing that happened at Rolling Hills was I was asked to be part of a prayer team. So once a month, when the service ends, if people in the congregation want prayer, they can go down to front. And I was asked to be one of those people to do that. It was just a great privilege to be able to agree with God that God still heals, God still comforts, God still consoles. So it was a fantastic thing. And Rolling Hills let me do that. So I want you to take a moment here and look at your list of what are you grateful for in the church family that you're part of. Hopefully you are part of a church family. It doesn't have to be Rolling Hills. It could be anywhere. But in the family that you do call your church home, what are you grateful for about that community? I want to just finish with two thoughts. I want to go back to the whole thing of attitude and just remind us an attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. And then there's a really cool scripture verse that talks about our thoughts. Because our feelings just kind of come and go, but we have a little bit more control over our thoughts. And this verse has personally encouraged me. You might find it encourages you, or you might find another verse that's better encouragement. But let me just share this one with you. It's Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I can choose what tapes I'm going to let my mind dwell on, what messages I'm going to let my mind dwell on. There's just a fantastic list of things for me to dwell on that will give me some hope where I'm not feeling hope, will give me some strength where I'm feeling weak. And as I build up my sobriety, it will contribute to my recovery. So you've got a list of paper in front of you with maybe a couple things under each of the four things under gratitude. I do encourage you to bring that list with you. As you go through your spiritual journey, what you're grateful for may change over time. That's fine. But just having a list that's written down, maybe you can even go on your cell phone and have the gratitude list on your cell phone and send yourself a text message So if you've got your phone and you're feeling down and you need something to be grateful for, you can look at your text message and you can go, these are things that I'm grateful for. Thank you for listening tonight and enjoy your time in small group.